Scripture reading this morning will be read from John 11, verses 11 through 16. John 11, verses 11 through 16. After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus hath fallen asleep, but I go to waken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus has spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus had died. And for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him."
Good morning. We welcome everyone who's here. And I know that we have visitors this morning. We certainly welcome you and hope you'll want to come back and be with us in the future. I'm going to make a couple of brief announcements, not to really repeat what Bill was saying earlier, but just a couple of announcements. One to add to it. We said last Sunday morning, but let's remember, continue to remember that Joe Fleming, Tiffany's husband, is having quite a bit of trouble with his back, and that's some recurring trouble. It's going to mean some changes for them, and so let's make sure we remember them in our prayers. Also, as far as Cedric did have successful surgery on Tuesday, as put in the bulletin, but he's been really weak since then, and the nurse was saying that didn't really want visitors other than Midland, but hopefully that'll change in a few days. But, he's recovering, but having a slow go of it. And Midland said this morning that he was just really not doing too well last night, not feeling the best. So let's especially remember him in our prayers. Good guy, and been a real encouragement to all of us since he came into our lives, especially Midland, of course, but all of us since. So let's make sure we remember. Also, one other thing, on the movie night, quote-unquote, that'll be Friday night, and what we're going to try to do, Montel and I are going to be showing a Bible movie or Bible-themed movie, but the purpose of it, you know that in a lot of these movies that were made, and there was a period in Hollywood where a lot of Bible-themed type movies were made, it's very interesting to watch these. The writers sometimes do an excellent job, give insight to a biblical passage, and really helps you. Other times, they kind of miss it totally. So we're going to watch one of these movies and go through, talk about some of the things that are in them, what's right, what's not right, what they got right, what they didn't, and kind of use that as an opportunity for teaching. And if it goes well, hopefully we'll be able to do something like that, and it'll be the kind of thing where we can use it as, you know, to reach people that are not members of the church. So, got a couple of, limited space, of course, because we're doing this at our house and around the TV. So, limited space, a couple of spots left. If you want to do that, make sure you see Montel sometime this morning and let her know for sure. Without any further delay, let's get into the lesson. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 20. And you can see the reference on the title here. Thomas missed the meeting. And, of course, we're talking about the Apostle Thomas. And the idea is, and I'm taking it primarily from John chapter 20, verse 24, and where it says that Thomas was not with them, and we'll talk about what all of that means, when Jesus came. So, turn this around where I see it. And we'll get right into it. There we go. Well, I hope. Yeah, there we go. John 20. Start reading with me in verse 19. Let's read the story to begin with. And I'm going to make reference to this. And in fact, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, I will turn to some other passages. But primarily, Luke 24 and John 20 I'm going to be looking at this morning. But let's start reading in verse 19. The same day at evening. Now this same day is, if you'll notice back in verse 1, it is the first day of the week, and it is the day of the resurrection. It's Sunday, the day that Jesus rose from the dead after having been crucified, of course, and dying on Friday. And it was that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, or the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Now, this is rather a long reading, but I wanted us to get the whole story before we start making reference to parts of it. You can see what happens here. Thomas, Jesus appears to the disciples, to the apostles, 10 of them. Remember, Judas Iscariot is dead. He's hung himself. But Thomas, for whatever reason, and we're not told, we don't know why he wasn't there, but he wasn't there. Thomas missed that initial meeting. Now, I'm going to come back to that, but let me just make a couple of observations first. Thomas, one of the Lord's chosen apostles, and I'm going to say it like this, sometimes, because of this story, gets a bad rap. This is the longest passage by far that involves Thomas. There are other references to him, but this is the story that we remember about Thomas. He's known for this incident. And unfortunately, because of it, the label Doubting Thomas, you'll notice that's not in the passage. We read it in its entirety. But the label Doubting Thomas has passed into our common usage. So people will say, oh, don't be a Doubting Thomas, or whatever it might be. But that's what we remember. If you run through the list of the apostles, when you hit Thomas, if you say to somebody, and I ask you in the bulletin this morning, what is Thomas most remembered for? I dare say that most people remember Thomas for being, quote, unquote, Doubting Thomas. And I think he gets a bad rap because of that. And that's why I had the scripture read this morning. Ed read for us a moment ago the passage in John 11. It doesn't really have to do with our story, so I'm not going to go back to it and reference that again. But just understand in that passage, this was going to be a difficult situation. Things have really heated up in Jerusalem. There's danger there. And it's Thomas. I mean, you would expect it to be Peter who would speak up and say, let's go, you know. But it's not. On that occasion in John 11, it's Thomas. He was the one courageous. He was the one brave there. I realize there are different interpretations of that passage, but that's what I believe about it nonetheless. He's the one saying, listen, if we die with him, it's okay. Let's go with him. So Thomas, there was a lot more to him than just, quote, unquote, Doubting Thomas. But that's all I'll say about that. I want to talk about this incident today and the fact that Thomas did miss this meeting. And I want to use that to make a parallel. We don't know why Thomas wasn't there. We have no idea. But he did miss it. And what he missed was Jesus' very first meeting, notice, with the disciples after his death. If you read the accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just putting them all together, what you basically see, remember, is that the women came to take care of the body, and they found an empty tomb. And if you remember, the angel addressed them, and in fact, even Mary Magdalene has a meeting with Jesus, and remember, she clings to him and so forth. You may also remember that John and Peter went to the tomb, and they found an empty tomb. And they look in and they see that he's not there, and there's all the questions, and then there's the explanation given to them. He's risen from the dead. Go back, tell the disciples, etc. But this is Jesus' first actual meeting, physical, because he's resurrected. He's back in the flesh. He's back from the dead. It's his first meeting with the disciples after his death. Thomas, by missing this meeting, misses quite a bit. I mean, there's a lot that happens. You can see it in John 20 and other passages, and we'll look at them. But he misses quite a bit by missing this meeting. And we, likewise, miss a lot when we miss important meetings together. We're assembled together. We're meeting together this morning. It's one of the times that have been specified for us to meet together or to assemble together. When we have those times, we will have another one this evening at 6 o'clock. We'll come back and we have our fifth Sunday singing service. And the theme of the singing, as you can see in the bulletin, is bringing in the sheaves. And we want to sing some songs and emphasize the idea of bringing in the sheaves, of reaching lost people and so forth. We miss a lot when we miss important meetings together with our fellow disciples. As we look at this, we might just ask the question, what did he miss? I mean, let's take a closer look at the passage. What did Thomas miss by not being there? You know, there really is a lot of detail in these short passages. There really is a lot of detail, a lot of insight into the whole mindset of the apostles, what was going on with them during those several days when Jesus was, in fact, crucified. I mean, if you think about it, this was an incredible week. It had started off with Jesus coming in on Palm Sunday, you know, as we call it, and all the people so excited about a new king and all of that kind of thing. 5 or 6 days later, depending on how you count it, they were screaming, "Crucified!" He was nailed to a cross. What an incredible week. They've seen so much, had a roller coaster of emotions during this week, and now he's dead. And they have experienced that, and they're not sure what's going to happen. And they're waiting to see what's going to happen. All of that is going on. When Jesus appears, by Thomas not being there, he missed the excitement. I mean, I don't think there's any way to describe it. The exultation there would have been to see Jesus walk through that door. Here is your master. Here's the one you love. Here's the one you banked your life on. I mean, think about that. They forsook everything, Luke 5, and followed him. They left their homes, their families, their businesses. Peter even says, you remember at the occasion of the rich young ruler, Peter says, "We have left everything to follow you." What do we get now? And maybe they were thinking at this time, we just get a dead master. We get a failure. We get someone who couldn't keep himself from being killed. There's no telling what was going through their mind. But can you imagine the excitement, the very joy, the wonder, as the Bible describes it, of seeing Jesus resurrected, walking through that door? And when you look at Luke chapter 24, and I want you to turn there and read this with me. Read the passage in Luke 24 and start reading down at verse 36. Now, Jesus has just finished that conversation with the two on the road to Emmaus. And then beginning in verse 36, this is Luke's account of his meeting with the disciples, or the apostles, if you will. "As he thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, 'Peace be unto you.'" You can see the parallel to John. But notice the point in verse 37. "They were terrified and affrighted," the King James says, "and supposed that they'd seen a spirit, a ghost. And he said unto them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts, or why do these kinds of thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me.'" You know, John in 1 John 1 says we did handle him. So maybe they did. They touched him to see if he was real. "Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still didn't believe, for joy and wonder." I mean, they were overcome with it. Can you imagine? Someone you love so much. Someone you believe in so much. Someone you think you've lost. And you're feeling that devastation. And right there, standing among you, there he is, all of a sudden. Can you imagine it? I mean, here is Jesus appearing to them, and Thomas missed it. We don't know what he had. We don't know what was important. We don't know if he was sick somewhere, a family member died. We have no idea what happened to him. But he missed it. There was Jesus, and Thomas missed it. The Bible teaches us here, and I think we see this in the disciples. I want you to look again at this when it says in verse 41. I mean, this is an incredible statement, really. They didn't believe what he was saying, and there are a lot of reasons not to believe, but notice what it says. They didn't believe for joy and wondered. I mean, they have so much joy, excitement, wonder over this. They're not even hearing, perhaps, what he says. It's not registering. They're not believing. They're just so overcome with joy. You know, to see our Lord come back from that horrible crucifixion, to witness his victory over death and sin, that would have been awesome to see that. You think about it. I know a lot of people here watched The Passion of the Christ, and it impressed you several years ago, as it did me, in a new way with everything Jesus went through. And you look at that, and you see that, and you know, you think about it, and you try to imagine how horrible it was. And here it is, the third day after that happens, Friday to Sunday. Literally, about 48 hours, according to the way the Bible is describing it here, 48 hours later, there he is. And there he is, he's gained victory over sin, over death, and he's standing there saying, I'm fine. You know, touch the print of my hands. Reach your hand into my side, where you remember the spear went in. I'm fine. I live. I'm the one you believed in. Far more than you could have ever imagined. You believed in me. Now look at what you have. Can you imagine the excitement? But Thomas wasn't there. He missed out on that wondrous opportunity that day. And it makes you think. Again, you don't know why he missed it, but he missed it. I don't know if there's ever been an occasion that you missed. And maybe you missed for a good reason, and maybe you missed for a bad reason. Maybe if you'd have made it more of a priority, you could have been there. You really weren't thinking it was going to be so much. You really weren't thinking it was going to be that important, you know, a time to be there or whatever. As the Bible describes this, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, the disciples are kind of just huddled together during this time. I'll come back to that point in a second. Maybe Thomas didn't think it was so important to be there huddled together. It was important. But maybe he didn't think it was so important. I don't know. I have no clue as to why Thomas wasn't there. But I know there have been times in my life, and I'm asking you, has there ever been a time in your life when after the fact, when it turned out to be so important to have been there, did you ever find yourself saying, man, I wish I had been there. I wish I had been there to see that. I wish I'd been there to experience that. And did it make you think that if you were in the habit of being there, in other words, if this were something that regularly happened, and this was, they were regularly staying together, as the Bible pictures it here, if you put more of an emphasis on being where maybe you should have been on a regular basis, when that time came, you would have been there. You see, Thomas wasn't. And he missed that meeting with Jesus. He missed the comfort of being with people that had similar experiences. At that time, there were only 11 people living that had experienced exactly the same thing. Only 11. Only 11 people were his apostles. Only 11 people were one of the ones, for example, like, remember what happened to Peter? You were one of this man's disciples. They were known. Only 11 shared this. 10 were there. One wasn't. Only 11. You know how that is. I mean, when you share something, when you have the same experiences as other people, only you and they can comfort each other. Only you and they know what it means, what it feels like to go through that exact experience. Thomas wasn't there. The disciples have spent about 3.5 years together following Jesus. What a disciple means is someone who learns, a student, we say today, a learner. That's what a disciple is. And they've been following Jesus around and learning. But you know, there was a lot they didn't know. There was a whole lot that they maybe had knowledge of, Jesus had taught them, but they didn't understand. And the Bible makes that very clear. If you're back in the book of John, or if you're looking at John 20, I want you to notice something that it says back up in verse 9. Now, in verse 9, this is where Peter and John run to the tomb. But in that, notice what it says in verse 9. For as yet they knew not the Scripture. The word here for know, and I don't know if you have a different translation, but the word here for know is not they didn't have knowledge of the Scripture, but it very specifically is they didn't understand. You know, you can have knowledge of something. I mean, somebody can say something to you, and then somebody can say it again and remind you that, yeah, I heard that before, but you don't have a clue what it means. You don't understand it at all. That's exactly what's being said here. They still didn't understand the Scripture. Notice that he must rise again from the dead. There were a lot of Old Testament passages, a number of them. Isaiah 53 clearly predicts this, and the New Testament points it out. Zechariah chapter 6. Other passages clearly show. Several of the Psalms clearly show. Psalm 22, for example. That Jesus would have to rise from the dead. In order to fulfill those passages, he'd have to rise from the dead. No way around that. But they didn't understand that. They didn't understand that he would have to rise from the dead. There was just a lot they didn't understand. You know, later, Jesus, in Mark 16, I'm not going to turn to it. But in Mark 16, Jesus will even upbraid them, the Bible says, for their non-belief, their unbelief. And the idea is their misunderstanding about things. They're just not taking in fully. Sometimes they were preoccupied. Sometimes they weren't listening as closely as they should have been. You know, they were maybe arguing over who was going to be number one or whatever. But the point is, there's still a lot they don't know. Luke 24 clearly bears that out as well. The point of this is, and this is what I'm getting at. Sometimes when you come together, you meet together, and you're in a situation, and something happens, it makes something clear to you that never was before. In other words, only by being there. Maybe something is said at church. Maybe something happens when we're together. Maybe something happens this very morning while we're together. And you see something differently than you've never seen before. You hear it differently. You see it or witness someone explaining it differently. The point is, you get it, and you never got it before. And if you weren't here, you wouldn't get it. I dare say when Jesus stood in the midst of them, that there were a lot of things that they understood. I mean, look at John 20. That morning when Peter and John run to the tomb, they still don't understand that he must rise again. You think they understand it a few hours later when he appears to them? Oh, yeah. But Thomas missed that meeting. So you miss a lot that you could get. I'll tell you something else, too. The disciples were afraid. Go back to that passage in Luke 24 for a moment. I mean, you see it in John 20 and verse 19, if you're still there, specifically says they were kind of assembled or huddled together is the term I use because it really gets the point across. But notice, for fear of the Jews. But I want you to go back to Luke 24 and listen to what that passage says again. The passage in Luke 24, look down in verse 37 when it says they were terrified and affrighted. It's two different terms. And basically what it's saying is, they were scared and they were scared to death. You know, that's not the way we would say it today. The point is, it's getting across to you that they are really, really scared. But why not? Remember how they were when they came to arrest Jesus? I mean, first of all, Peter's going to take a sword, charge out there, he cuts off a dude's ear. Jesus says, no, we're not doing it like that. You know, I came for this. And it's like, you came for what? To die? You came to be taken, arrested, crucified? I mean, what did you come for? Yes, I've been trying to tell you that. From day one, that's what I came for. That's the purpose. And if you remember the reaction when they took Jesus, I mean, he willingly went. But when they took him, the Bible says they all forsook him and fled. That word fled there means just what you would think it would mean. They ran for their lives. They were scared to death. And Jesus, with all his power, Think about what they've seen. All the miracles they've seen. And yet, he lets somebody take him and nail him to a cross, and he lets himself die. They didn't understand all that. They just don't understand it. They don't get it. And they're scared. What does this mean? We've spent 3.5 years. We gave up everything. What do we do with ourselves? Can you imagine the conversations over the next 48 hours? What do we do now? Do we go on with this message? Do we teach? I mean, he sent us out teaching and preaching and so forth. Do we keep preaching it? I mean, who's going to believe us now? He's dead. They were scared. They don't know what to do. And then Jesus stands there. I've come to make it all clear. I'm going to tell you what it's all about. They were sticking close together because they're so scared. It helps to be with other people. You share your same beliefs and your same concerns. Doesn't necessarily answer every question you have. And it doesn't ease every fear, but helps. And Thomas wasn't there. We don't know why, but he wasn't there. The opportunity to gain strength and comfort was lost to him because he missed the meeting. Thomas also missed the most important thing of all this. He missed the confirmation. Everything Jesus had said was confirmed the moment he stood in the midst of them. Everything he claimed, everything he said he was, everything that he showed or demonstrated that he was, everything he was charged with. You make yourself the Son of God. He sure did. And he just proved it. Everything he ever said, everything that was ever said about it, he just proved it. All that was right by standing in the midst of it. But Thomas wasn't there. He missed the confirmation. 8 days later, he gets it. Okay? But he had to wait 8 days later. Now you might say, well, 8 days, okay. But you know, when you're going through something like this, you ever been going through something that's so hard, you're scared all the time? So scared it takes your breath away? I mean, so scared literally you just can't breathe. You know, you kind of walk to the window and lift it up so you can get some air because you can't breathe. You're scared. You don't know what you're going to do. That's what they're going through. And that would have been eased, and all of that would have been removed if he'd just been there. You missed so much, and Thomas missed it. Being with his fellow disciples and sharing experiences with them was an opportunity. Build his faith. Be stronger. And that's the point, isn't it? I mean, that's the point about what we are. We're Christians. We're people of faith. If we don't have our faith, we don't have anything. And the point is, we need to take every opportunity to build our faith. Thomas was a disciple. Thomas was an apostle. He'd been appointed by God. The word apostle means to be commissioned. He'd been commissioned by God with a purpose. Now, admittedly, they're scared and they're lost and they don't know what's going on. Admittedly. But he's been commissioned. He needed to be there is the point. We don't know what kept him away, but he needed to be there. And he wasn't. He wasn't there, so his faith remained weaker. And it's evident. When he came back, they told him. Look at John 20. They told him. They told him what happened. Remember that? He wasn't there. And they said, verse 25, we have seen the Lord. They have the faith now. They have the understanding now. But Thomas said, I will not believe. Now that's the position of Thomas because he missed it. He missed the meeting. His faith was weak. He missed something very special that happened too. I want you to look back at verse 19 and look at three times in this passage where it says, Jesus said to them, look at the end of verse 19. Jesus stood in their midst and said, peace be unto you. Notice again that he says that to them. In fact, he'll say it three times eventually when he says it again when Thomas comes together with him. But notice what all of this is about. I'm going to pick up reading down in verse 21. When Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And then when he said that, he breathed on them. What's that about? I mean, it's very special We don't know exactly how that happened. I've seen movies that portray it, literally how they're kind of huddled around Jesus. You know, Jesus is saying, you know, look at me and handle me and all of that. And they kind of come close, and it may be exactly how it happened. They come close to him, you know, to see if he's real. And then Jesus, we don't know how it happened, but he breathed on them. But it symbolized something. It symbolized their baptism with the Holy Spirit. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. I'll send you like the Father sent me with a commission to preach, to witness. They're going to receive the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. I'm not going to look at that this morning. That's a different sermon, different idea. But they'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It will enable them to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. But a very special, close, intimate, symbolic giving of that in John 20 to 10 disciples. Notice that. He commissioned them for the first of several times. Thomas heard about it, but he missed it, and he didn't get to experience it. You'll notice later in John 20, when Jesus comes back 8 days later, he may have done that again. He may have breathed on Thomas, but he might not have. You'll notice it doesn't say he did. It might have been a one-time thing, and Thomas missed it. Sometimes you can't repeat very special occasions. You just miss it if you're not there. What do we miss by not being here? Let me kind of summarize what we've said, and I'll do it briefly. What do we miss when we miss meeting together with our fellow disciples? Well, we miss the excitement. We miss the joy, the wonder of worshiping Jesus on the day He was resurrected. It's not an accident that we come together on Sunday, the first day of the week. We're supposed to be reminded every Sunday morning when we take the Lord's Supper like we did. This is the day. You see, we don't take it on Friday when He was crucified, when He died. We remember His death on the day He was resurrected, because that's the day of victory. You miss that if you miss the meeting. We miss the comfort of being with people that have similar experiences. We're all Christians. We all experience the same kind of temptations, the same kinds of things. Mine aren't exactly yours, and yours aren't exactly mine, but we share many of the same kinds of things. And we miss that. We miss the opportunity to gain strength and comfort from our brethren. It's very comforting. It's very strengthening to be with other Christians. To have them shake your hand or hug your neck or pat you on the back or tell you they love you or whatever it might be. It's very comforting. And we miss that when we're not together with Christians. What do we miss by not being here when the disciples meet together? We miss the confirmation of our faith. I mean, this is what we are. We get to see it. You know, you can read it at home by yourself, but you get to see it in live action. This is what people have been doing for 2,000 years, exactly like you're doing it. Coming together in very simple terms, worshiping God according to the Scriptures. That only comes by being together with people of like faith. We miss sharing experiences with our brothers and sisters, which is an opportunity to build our faith. What else do we miss by not being here? We sometimes miss very special occasions. When our sister, Mamie Hunt, came forward last Sunday, she confessed Jesus. She'd been studying with someone, and she confessed the Lord, and she was baptized for forgiveness of her sins. You see a demonstration of exactly what God teaches. If you're not here, you miss that. It's very special. It's a one-time thing, and it can't be duplicated. She won't ever be baptized again because it's a one-time obedience to God. If you miss it, you miss it. Just like Thomas when he missed the meeting. We need to make time to be at all the meetings of the Lord's people, or we risk missing so much. Are you here this morning and you're not a child of God? You believe in Jesus, that He's the Son of God? You'll confess that, your belief. You're ready to repent, to change your life, to commit to the Lord, to live your life for Him, doing everything that He commands you to do because He is your Lord. He is the one raised from the dead. You'll be baptized for forgiveness of your sins because you know that's the only thing that can take your sins away. And you're ready to live your life for Him, serving Him and growing and coming together in all the meetings as we gather together so that you can gain from that and grow in that. Are you ready to do that this morning? Maybe you're here and you've done that in the past, but your commitment hasn't been what it needs to be and you want to correct that this morning. If you need to come for any reason, please come while Kenny leads us in this song.